Right.
We're on the record? Okay, we're on the record. It is 9:09 a.m. on July 19, 2010. We are in a room. This is 907 9th floor. D9 building, 238 Artificial Forest Street, again, 196910. I'm Anthony Camacho. I'm the hearing officer, and I'm calling the case of an appeal of Eon Enterprises Corporation. That's appeal number OPA-PA-10-003. We are here today for a motions hearing to be followed by a pre-hearing conference in this matter. Are there any preliminary issues I need to take up at this time prior to going into the motions hearing?
For the record, Dan LeBron on behalf of Eon Enterprises. I have nothing in the preliminary matters except to thank the panel and thank the hearing officer for the schedule that you created today.
Okay. And thank you for reminding me. Could the parties please identify, the counsel for the parties, please identify yourself for the record and any institutional representatives that are with you today.
For the record, my name is Sarah Strauss. I'm with Cabot Antonia. I represent GCC. With me today is Jolene Evangelista, who is the procurement officer at GCC.
Mr. Berman, you've already identified yourself for the record. Is there any institutional representative on behalf of your party today?
Thank you, hearing officer. None today.
All right.
If they come in the door, we'll let them recognize.
Very well. And with the members of the OPA staff present here this morning, please identify themselves for the record.
Goldman Marquez, audit supervisor. I'm actually in the capacity right now as the administrator for the office.
Ann Camacho, procurement appeals assistant.
Mayor Paz Perez, auditor.
Sarah Camacho, auditor.
Okay, now, without further ado, we're going to follow our notice of pre-hearing conference and motion hearing and related dates order dated June 18, 2010. And pursuant to that order, we are going to begin with motions. For the record, the only motion I see is the motion to dismiss filed by the purchasing agency. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, and the relevant oppositions and the replies there too. And at this time, we'll be taking an oral argument. So this is your motion, Ms. Strauss. The floor is yours.
Your Honor, our motion is simple. It's basically that the Office of Public Accountability, specifically the public auditor, lacks jurisdiction to hear this appeal because there was no protest filed and therefore no formal decision ordered by GCC. And I'll reserve the rest of my argument on rebuttal.
Mr. Berman?
Thank you, Mr. Officer. Our brief contains, referred to as the more complete statement of course and authorities of our opposition. But as a preliminary part of this motion, let me just summarize that Eon filed a protest and appeal because they are, in fact, undisputed below their at $58,000. And the winner is only there disclosed to them as over $50,000. Let's talk about the motion to dismiss. On April 26, 2010, the notice from GCC was delivered to Eon that there is a loser. I can put it that way, make it simple for us. In response on May 3, 2010, timely, Eon hand-delivered notice to stop and reevaluate. To the deed, to the declaration of Jolene Evangelista is uncontested. That May 3, 2010 protest stated, and I quote, "We are the lowest bid for the project." What did it also do? Four elements required by two long administrative regulations, GAR as we call it, 9101C31, identify the project. In fact, yes, notice did identify the project of procurement that was quoted GCCFE10-1009. To identify the protester, yes. It's on Eon's letterhead Eon's address, Eon's phone number, Eon's contact, signed by the representative Eon's. Undisputed. Number three, requirement. Reason stated. Yes, lowest bidder is in the notice. Quote, lowest bidder. So in one element left, exhibits. Yes, exhibit attached, notice of non-award. This is why they're protesting. It's attached. Nothing more, nothing new existed or to be added. Yes, they have the lowest bid, it's uncontested. Yes, they have the package, they have the IFB, uncontested. The contractor's license is provided, uncontested. So, with that notice of protest, May 3, 2010, every element of GAR was satisfied. What do we know in response? GCC responds, May 10, 2010. Understood and replied by GCC. GCC explains their position. We don't care if you're the lowest price because responsive and responsible bidder is what we're looking for. That's what the reply would say. No confusion by GCC, no prejudice to GCC. They understand, they're not confused, they reply on May 10. What did GCC fail to do? Nothing in their April 26th prior notice, their first notice, nothing in their May 10 notice to Young's ever said follow this rule or that rule. GCC never said follow this form or that form. GCC never gave any form at all. There's no notice from GCC that they are confused or misunderstand to which Eons could reply in remedy or correct the situation. In short, they're springing a trap for the unwary. GCC shouldn't be that to spring traps for unwary. Just say it. If you're troubled, if you have a misunderstanding, if there's something that you can't read because it was in Chinese or because they missed one of the four elements, say it. Easily fix. They didn't say anything. They wait till legal counsel arrives and then spring this trap of the motion to dismiss. Constitutional due process, satisfied. We briefed it. Reasonably calculated to give notice of what is the issue. They know. They've understood. They replied May 10. We then took it to the law books, Administrative Law and Practice, Professor Kochka, Section 5.33, and I quote the professor from the Administrative Law and Practice Treatise, that it is usually held that any deficiencies in the pleadings can be corrected during discovery, amendment, or the pre-hearing conference. We're here today at the pre-hearing conference. Since there is no misunderstanding and there is no confusion, your steps are suggested there won't be anything necessary to amend. But if there was something necessary to amend, we could look to Rules Civil Procedure 1 and 15, particularly Rule 15, which the courts from the U.S. Supreme Court down have always followed, needs to amend is freely granted. If there's something that needs to be amended here, we would make the amendment. We submit it's all understood now. The record is assembled. The books are clear. There's nothing left out. Rule 1, again, 1 Rules Civil Procedure, construed for just speedy and inexpensive determination. Here, we had relied upon, that Eons relied upon, their own experience in procurement protests, which only coincidentally, at 9:30 following this year, this morning, involves them also. They did also protest their prior procurement successfully, had the government reverse their position, settled successfully with the government, and then it went on with another bidder. So they've had some experience in doing this before. They wrote a letter which was clearly understood by GCC, a protest, and GCC responded. Let me pick up one case, if I might, Your Honor, because they're reserving all their argument for rebuttal. I guess that's more than being the spring traps for the unwary. They'll let me hear what they're going to say until the end. I guess that's clever. And in the Supreme Court of Guam, May versus People of Guam, the 2005 opinion cited by GCC.
Did you cite that in your brief or her brief?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Later.
All right. So it's their Supreme Court.
Yeah. I'm okay. Sure they can argue it in rebuttal, so I won't have a chance to respond to that, so we have to do it now. This particular opinion, if you understood it from beginning to end, actually stands in support of our position. Why? Because May versus People of Guam was decided on the merits. Wasn't decided on a procedural irregularity, wasn't decided because Mr. May was a layman and was trying as a prisoner to draft his own brief. In fact, Mr. May's merits went all the way to somewhat of a success. They established new law in Guam in construing his papers in his favor for Aram Quorum Novus, and they have now established that Aram Quorum Novus exists as a remedy for prisoners and petition for habeas corpus-like relief. Very interesting. holding. But what is clearly not here is that from pages 8 all the way to nearly page 14, 15 is a decision on the merits, a decision on in custody, construing in custody over and over again, asserting the claim on the merits, deciding the claim on the merits, reviewing the law on the merits nationwide of what is in custody, what is in custody, all the way until you get to what is often called by lawyers and courts some dicta at the end, at page 14. And they say that, in part, May also argues from 1993 to the present he was ignorant of the law and had no knowledge of the option of filing the petition for habeas corpus or quorum nobis until he was informed by another inmate. His failure to provide unknown facts, his lack of incentive, and his ignorance of the law in a way justifies the tardiness of his petition to the court. That's very important, that last phrase, because that analysis about his delay is a merits analysis of one of the five factors Mr. May had to satisfy to get relief on the merits. So what they're saying is, on the merits, Mr. May, you waited too long because, you know, we can't go back to 1981 now. It's just too long, and you're to blame for being late to court. You're not to blame because you're ignorant. You're not to blame because you can't draft a proper petition. We're going to take you on your merits, but we're going to turn you out and pull you out on the substance because it's just too late in time. None of that exists in this case. Eons is timely. Eons is clear. Eons is understood. And they have their reply from GCC expressing their understanding of the actual protest. In short, the May decision was an all-merits decision. All analysis on the merits, decided on the merits, not a procedural irregularity. He only construed the fact that he argued, oh, I'm just a poor prisoner, I don't understand the law, as relating to his delay. He wanted to have relief on the factor of delay. Excuse my delay because I was ignorant. No, we can't excuse that kind of delay of 20 years. Understandable in the context. So taking that case in context, it really stood for relief for eons in the merits because we're asking to go forward on the merits and not to be turned out on an alleged irregularity in the procedure prior to notice of the protest.
Just one question from that analysis. You are saying, though, that your client filed a protest on May the 3rd. Is that correct?
I think that's right.
And that is a,
yes, sir.
Which exhibit is this again?
That's exhibit B to the declaration of Joe Lee Anthony. Sandwiched between the notice of you're the loser and after follows the reply, we understand that you're not responsible.
So you're saying that May 3rd letter, that's your protest, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And if I may also add an argument, your May 10 reply is a waiver of this motion to dismiss. If they had a motion to dismiss argument to make, they should have stood silent or never issued their May 10 letter. Because after they issued May 10, that was the notice to file an OPA, procurement appeal. And that's how we got here today. In summary, Your Honor, I'll just mail out a brief to our oppositions and motions.
Very well. In rebuttal?
Yes, Mr. Camacho. What Mr. Berman, how he characterized the facts of this case, the dates, there's no dispute. The decision on whether or not there was a protest filed turns on whether or not the May 3rd letter was a protest. GCC maintains that it wasn't. It was insufficient. There are two parts in the code that deal with complaining about basically if you're the lowest bidder, and it gets awarded to somebody else, what you can do. They're both found in 2 GAR 9101. Subsection B is the definition of a complaint. A complaint can be oral or in writing. There's no formal protest, appeals process if somebody files a complaint. The fact there is a separate section for a complaint adds to GCC's argument that they didn't see this as a protest. It didn't trigger any formal deadlines, no formal date. Meanwhile, if you go down to subsection C3, that's the definition of what is entailed in a formal protest. I do agree with Mr. Berman that one element was actually taken care of, and that was that the procurement was identified. the subject heading of the May 3rd letter says, I forget exactly what it was, the actual title of the procurement, the GCC. Meanwhile, for a complaint, if it's going to be written in the form of a business letter, which it was, it has a letterhead for EOM. That's pretty standard for common business practice, and identify the subject matter. Other than that, it just requested a reevaluation of bids because they were the lowest bidder. None of the other elements were met. Specifically, it didn't say it was a protest. Nowhere does it say that this was an actual protest. According to 9101C3, it needs to identify itself as a protester, not just the person writing a letter. Any letter, we expect to have who it's actually from. I think that language is clear. Specifically, it says it's supposed to be on the envelope, but this is hand-delivered, so I don't see any problem with having it be on the letter instead of on the envelope if they hand-delivered it. But they didn't. It doesn't say that there was a protest. It doesn't say that they're the protesting party. Nothing. There's none of that language. It's silent.
Well, let's go back to that. How was the letter, the May 3rd letter received? Was it in an envelope?
No, it was hand-delivered.
Well, when you say hand-delivered, was it hand-delivered in an envelope?
I don't know. Do you remember, Joanne? Let me look, because normally they stamp the letter.
So is this a place where it was delivered in an envelope? Do you have the envelope by any chance?
If it was, then yeah, I would have it. But I don't think, because I was actually in my office and I actually stamped it myself and initialed.
Yeah, it does have our initials. It's in the afternoon. The stamp is on the letter. There is no accommodating envelope.
Okay, so they just delivered the letter itself. Is that what your statement is?
And she stamped it.
Okay.
And it was Jolene's signature that's on the May 3rd letter. And that is Exhibit B on her declaration. Shall I continue?
Please.
Okay, thank you. So they didn't identify themselves as a protester. They just said the name of the procurement, which one would expect in any business letter or complaint. There weren't reasons given. It did say that they were requesting a reevaluation, but that is more analogous to a complaint. Again, it's not saying we were the lowest bidder. We submitted everything that we were required to for the contract. If you read the agency report, it goes more into detail of why EONS was not awarded this specific bid. It didn't ask for reasons why they were determined to not be the lowest, most responsible bidder. And also, the only thing that they attached was the letter saying that they didn't get the bid. If nothing was attached involving whether or not they were responsible, whether or not it was responsive, etc.
I'm sorry, hearing officer. I said on record that I would announce my clients. They came here and they have come in now.
Okay, who's identified
the speaking representative? Steve, to my left, is Representative Mr. Manabat. Mr. Manabat is also the primary shareholder and chief executive officer. Mr. Wu is seated in the rear chairs now.
Okay. I apologize, Mr. Ocko, but please continue.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Pacha. But if the court would look to my motion to dismiss, I lay out the exact elements of 9101C3. And this is actually, the Memorandum of Points and Authority. And it's very specific. When it's filed, the subject, the form, there's subsections A, B, C, and D regarding the form. The only one we think that was actually satisfied here was an identification of the procurement. There was no mention of the award or the award number. It didn't even ask for why they weren't given this, why they were not awarded the award. It wasn't filed in duplicate, or is it triplicate or duplicate? Excuse me. Within 14 days, they're supposed to submit multiple copies. Meanwhile, if you look at it from the procurement officer's standpoint, this just looks like a regular complaint, which there aren't any formal requirements for. It could be oral, it could be written. If EONS wanted to submit a formal protest, they could have complied with all of the elements of 2 GAR 9101. They could have hired their attorney at that point in order to start the formal process and trigger the relevant date. That wasn't done. The letter that TCC replied, which I believe was dated May 10th, but it, for some reason it didn't get mailed on time. It wasn't reached to them until I think May 24th. That was just a response. It was short, and that's attached, I believe, as Exhibit A on Julian Evangelista's declaration. It's Exhibit C, excuse me. And that's the May 10th letter. That is not a formal decision. Because there was no protest and there was no formal decision, we're simply saying that this office does not have jurisdiction to hear this appeal.
What is that letter?
The May, the one dated May 10th or May 3rd?
May 10th.
Okay.
Do you see this response?
Yes.
Is there any notice to the Youngs that they had 14 days to file an appeal to the Office of Public Accountability or to file an appeal of administrative review?
No.
There is none.
Would you like me to read it out loud for the record?
Yes, please.
This is the May 10th letter, right?
The May 10th letter.
This letter is to advise you that the Guam Community College received your letter dated May 3rd regarding the above. TCC has evaluated the bids in detail and remains firm in its decision on the award. Please note that the bids are evaluated based on the lowest responsive and responsible bid. We thank you for your participation in this bid and encourage you to participate again in the future.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Do you have any other arguments?
No, our arguments are pretty straightforward.
All right. So I will then review the briefs, take this matter under advisement. Okay. In the event that, and I haven't made a decision one way or the other yet, but just in the event that we proceed forward to a formal hearing, the next stage is just to get some dates. Now, that's only in the event that we rule that the OPA rules that the motion to dismiss does not have merit, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
And the dates that we're going to need is, let's start with a formal hearing date. Are the parties and council going to be available perhaps in the first week of August?
For the record, Attorney Berman is looking down to the next week. Yes, generally, August is available.
The second week.
First of all, if we did have a formal hearing, how long do you think it would take the respective parties to present their cases?
An hour?
An hour?
You know, I would tend to agree with them. Struck.
So one day? Basically.
One day for sure.
Okay.
These things are undisputed, as a matter of fact. I think there's some legal dispute here, but not much of fact.
I would agree with that.
Are the parties available on August the 2nd, which is approximately 2 weeks from now, if we proceeded with a formal hearing?
I was trying to be out of town that week, but if that fits your schedule best, I'm not sure that I can.
I could, not sure. Just maybe the next day, Tuesday. I think it's good for trials in nature to have one working day of assistance from supporting staff and witnesses and clients, rather than, because if you work, if you have a Monday morning, you have to, you know, really prepare on Sunday, to be honest. Or any day that week, actually, 3, 4, 5, 6. I agree with this.
How about, okay, now, were you planning on just being out of town that weekend or the entire week?
In 4 days.
Like 4 days, part of that would be the weekend.
part of, no, 4 days during the week.
4 days during the week.
But I haven't booked my tickets yet.
The next available date for me would be the 4th. That Wednesday. Please understand that if we do have a formal hearing, the OPA does have to go through a process of reviewing all the evidence, all the testimony, drafting a decision that kicks off a 30-day timeline. We have to do that. So I'm hesitant to go into the middle of the month.
Okay. I'll make sure that I'm here on the 4th.
The 4th?
The 4th.
Okay. Would I give you enough time, Mr. Berman?
Very good.
Okay.
So,
yes. Could I have your name, please?
I'm sorry. Sam Lai from AMS. The intent of avoiding.
Okay. See, are you entering? Have you made an entrance as an interested party in this matter?
Mr. Camacho, we submitted that he is an interested party at the very beginning.
All right.
They're the ones that were awarded the bid.
Okay. Are you represented by counsel?
I just wanted to ask a question if I could give it on the hearing.
Okay, do you need to speak into the mic? If you're an interested party, let me clarify. You have made an entry of appearance as an interested party. You should be seated up here at the table.
I'm asking if I can ask a question.
Okay, you can ask a question as an interested party, but
you
have to talk into the mic. Is that mic working here to the left?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Lai, please have a seat over there.
I'm out of town, and I would like to attend the hearing if possible. And I'm going to be here until August.
August 4th is when we're going to have the hearing.
Yeah,
August
5th.
No. August 8th, August 4th.
So on.
Okay. You can be here or not. Or make arrangements to have someone represent you here. But we're going to hold this hearing on August the 4th. Okay. So August the 4th will be a formal hearing if we get it.
Nine a.m.
Yes, we will start at 9 a.m. And that does give us. Approximately 2 weeks or so. When do the parties think they could have their witness and exhibit list prepared?
This week.
Do you think you can have those documents prepared by Monday, July the 26th?
Yes, Mr. Montgomery.
If I may. Monday, July 26th, I will be off for a little business by returning on the evening of Monday, so I might have the next day, the 27th. Tuesday.
Well, hesitant to say Friday this week because there is Liberation Day, which is a holiday.
But I can suggest no surprises. I think everything I have for exhibits is already out there in providing. But
that's the thing for Jesus.
I think we're all.
All right, so 7:27 at 5 p.m. will be the deadline for witness and exhibit list. If we proceed, okay.
Here, officer, just clarification that there wouldn't be trial setting pre-trial summary. You're asking just for the list. You don't necessarily have to have the full book delivered to you and quintuplicate.
Well, actually,
identifying.
Well, let me see here. All you have to know, it would state 4 copies of all exhibits. Okay? And, of course, 1 copy of your exhibits would have to all your exhibits and your witness list would have to be served upon the other part. Okay?
I appreciate that. it's good that we are here to talk about it because the record was already started for establishment. There is someone holding a record. Public auditor has a record.
There is a procurement record, which I have.
We're not supposed to both reduplicate that.
No. Let me clarify what the limits are, okay? You don't have to take everything in your notice of appeal, okay, or your pleadings, basically, and reduplicate them. When I say exhibits, that is solely limited to the exhibits you will present to a witness, okay? If you plan on calling the witness and having that document in front of the witness, that's what I describe exhibit. Everything that you've already submitted with your pleadings is part of a record. You need not submit that again. But if they're going to say this is exhibit A or exhibit 1, essentially that becomes part of our transcript.
So specific parts of the procurement record you could submit as an exhibit?
Yes, if only if you're going to have a witness testify to that. But no, you need not create exhibits A through Z, which you've already submitted in, say, your agency report, and you need not do that again.
Okay.
If you're not going to have a witness testify to it, it's already part of your pleading. It's already in the record. Okay.
Very helpful. If I could, because we're almost at 20 minutes and they're almost at 70, may I suggest that to Numerics and they'll take Alpha?
That's fine. Okay, so the Eons would have numbers, and then GCC would have letters of the alphabet.
To simplify things at that hearing, I don't know if opposing counsel would like to stipulate to the admissibility of the exhibit if both of us are going to be using things that we've already used in our pleadings and the procurement records. I would stipulate to that.
Well, that's already part of the record. Okay.
As far as at the hearing, everything's the record.
Now, if it's something new,
right?
All right, that's where you'd have to enter that formally into the record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
kind of
understandable.
Thank you. And then, let me see here. Also on the 27th, would that be too late to have a hearing brief? When I say hearing brief, you need not duplicate every single argument. Okay, but just have a summary of the argument in the hearing. You'll have the benefit, hopefully by tonight or early tomorrow morning, of my decision on the motion to dismiss.
Okay.
So, of course, if I rule in your favor, then there won't be the other order scheduling.
Because it's all new.
Okay, because it's all new. Okay.
Hearing officer on the hearing brief, if I might, could I suggest the next business day, July 28th, the hearing brief?
Hearing brief. Okay, so July the 28th, which would be a Wednesday. At 5 p.m. would be the deadline to submit the hearing briefs. Now, if there's a we also need a list of issues, okay, from the parties, what you feel the respective contested issues are.
Is that in the hearing brief or separate?
That should be separate. Or actually, you can put that in your hearing brief if you want to try to consolidate pleadings. But if, for example, I think one of the things, just based on your arguments today, for example, the issue as to whether or not the procurement was identified, I think both parties agree upon. I'm just using that as an example. That's not a contested issue. But there might be others that you have. So you just state what you feel the contested issues are. If you can make any joint or stipulation that, you know, some things aren't contested, so that would limit the amount of time we spend on issues at the hearing.
Okay.
That would help.
Okay. Likewise, I do encourage,
okay, but you need not, you could file, you got together and file joint witness exhibit and issues list and admissions of fact, okay, in lieu of filing those documents separately, okay. Of course, that would take great cooperation between the parties. It hasn't happened yet, but I really encourage that.
Okay.
Okay. But you need not use it, but it's just something I encourage. Okay. Okay, and just to summarize, if you do not rule in favor of GCC, and I submit a scheduling order for a formal hearing, the formal hearing will be on the 4th of August, and witness lists and exhibit lists, along with 4 copies of the exhibits that will be presented to witnesses only, will be due at 5 p.m. on July the 27th. The hearing briefs of the respective parties, which should include their statement of contested issues, that will be due on July the 28th, which is the next day at 5 p.m. And I will also state that the parties may, well, you're not required to, but you may, assuming we have the hearing on the 4th of August, you may file and serve on the other parties additional briefs on the issue of remedies. And the deadline for that is 2 days after the formal hearing, which would be Friday, August the 6th. That would be the deadline to file briefs on remedies, but be advised that that is a optional brief. It's not a required brief.
That would be before we had a decision?
Yes. Do you have any questions concerning the tentative schedule?
Yes, just one clarification. The original plus 4 copies were all turned into Office of Public Auditor.
That is correct.
And then one more copy for closing counsel.
Of course. That is correct.
I'm unclear as to our interested party, whether we serve or we don't serve.
They made an entry of appearance?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yes, you would have to serve the interested party as well.
Because it's not a law office. I'm just going to suggest it's going to be mail service.
Mr. Wine, okay, can you please take your receipt up here? You entered as a, did you actually enter as an interested party, or did somebody enter for you?
Mr. Camacho, we filed a statement of interested party because...
Let me clarify. So did you actually enter an appearance as an interested party in this matter, personally?
I was informed.
Are you representing Mr. Wine?
No, we just wanted to let him know that the appeal has been started. As far as I know, he has filed an entry of appearance. We filed a statement of interested party to let the Office of Public Accountability know that he wants to be kept informed of what happened.
Well, Mr. Wine...
And to my knowledge, he doesn't have counsel. Is that right?
I think he's already stated that on the record.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Wine... if you're going to enter as an interested party, you're going to have to make an entry of appearance and serve a copy of that document upon all the counsel in this matter. That would be Ms. Strong and Mr. Berman's office. And in your entry of appearance, you would also have to show where they could serve documents upon you. Do you understand that?
I just won't be here in my office.
So it's moved. Okay.
I have no choice.
Okay.
But I would like to be here.
Plus a public proceeding, so if you or your representative desires to be here, that's fine. If you're going to enter an appearance as an interested party, though, formally, you can do so. You can also file briefs in accordance with this deadline, but you would have to formally enter your appearance, so you're letting the other parties know that you plan on taking part of that hearing.
I won't be here, so I won't.
Okay.
I won't pass.
Okay, well, because he hasn't formally entered as an interested party and does not plan on being at the formal hearing, I'm not going to require the parties to serve documents on Mr. Lyons this time.
Okay.
But if I'm just saying you have that option, though, if you so desire. If you wanted to send your company representative, you could. Okay. But we are going to need some kind of filing with the Office of Public Accountability just to tell us and the parties where to serve documents upon you. Okay? You understand?
I would get copies from DCC and lawyer, I suppose.
But you could, or if you enter an appearance as a party, they would have the obligation to serve the documents upon you. But if you wish to file anything, if you wish to file a hearing brief, you could. You have to enter your appearance as a party. And you also have to comply with these deadlines as well that I've just given out. But we haven't had a formal order yet.
Okay. No, I won't be here. Have anything? No. I just want to be here. I'm hearing the talk.
Okay. But it's August. Okay. If we have the hearing, it'll be August the 4th at 9 a.m. If we have the hearing. I haven't issued that order yet.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm not going to require the parties to serve a copy on Mr. Wyatt. Your company again is?
Alive Metal Specialties.
Yeah, I'm not going to require the parties to serve a copy of these documents on Mr. Wyatt's company, Alliance Metal Specialties, at this time, as he has not formally entered his appearance as an interested party, had any filings, and based on his statements that he does not intend to file anything at this time. Okay? Are there any other issues?
No, sir.
Not for you to see either.
All right, so I will take the matter under advisement and issue a decision hopefully by this evening or early tomorrow morning and issue further orders on this matter. And this hearing is concluded. We are off the record at 9:51 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Long.
Thank you.